Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Taboos associated with menstruation limit public discussion of a primary event in the lives of more than half the human population of the world. And even more limited is the conversation about a young woman's menarche, or first menstrual period. Rachel Nailbuff, our guest in this edition of Radio Curious, is an 18-year-old woman passionate about breaking taboos associated with menstruation and the author of My Little Red Book, an anthology of stories about first periods, collected from women of all ages around the world. She examines these very personal stories from the larger picture of gender politics and self-image. In our conversation, we discuss what motivated Rachel Nailbuff at the age of 13 to gather and, 5 years later, publish this book, and how she believes that we can bring the discussion of menstrual periods away from the taboo and into the arena of acceptable conversation. When I spoke with Rachel Nailbuff from her home in San Francisco, California, on May 29, 2009, we began with her thoughts about why menstruation is seldom discussed. Rachel Nailbuff, welcome to Radio Curious.
Glad to be here.
So on the issue of a first period, this is something that happens to more than half the people alive in the world, but it's not talked about. Why do you figure it's not talked about?
Well, I think there are a few reasons, and I think education is one of them. The way it's taught in schools, at least the way it was taught to me, is that it was only taught to the girls. So you have the girls inside learning about periods while the boys are outside playing kickball. And that sort of perpetuates this like silence and misconception. And I find that girls amongst each other aren't quite as awkward in silence about it. But when there is a guy in the room, no one says anything. And so it's no one's fault, really. It's not to blame girls or guys, but we learn about it. It sort of perpetuates awkwardness and silence. And the other way periods are portrayed are advertised. So you have ads for pads on TV where you see like a blue liquid falling gently onto a starch white cotton cloth. And that sort of gives you the wrong impression of what's supposed to happen and what you're shooting for. The other way tampons are advertised is they are noted for being the wrappers for being quiet so that when you're in the bathroom stall, no one will hear you unwrapping it. They are advertised as being small, so you can fit it in the palm of your hand so that no one can see. And I think it's hard to tell where advertising begins and where sort of like society starts, so who knows whether there's a market for that or whether or not the advertisers are creating that.
My question tends towards the two things that you said. One, the biological factor of menstruation is only taught to the girls, but it really does affect the entire population. And then when it's talked about or marketed, it's talked about and marketed in kind of a hush-hush way. Why do you think that is? What are the elements behind it? And in a sense, I'm curious as to what you've learned in your work, because you've talked to women beyond just the North American culture. You've pretty much gone worldwide in My Little Red Book.
Well, I mean, I think this is something that there are books that are entire books dedicated to this subject about like why these taboos exist. And the reasons that I've heard, the ones that I think make any sense, are when you go back, way back to like nomadic days and days of tribes and that sort of thing, that like it was sort of like a hassle, and women needed to like take a break and be on their own and clean themselves, and it was kind of a mess. So it was regarded as something that was dirty and would slow people down, and that's sort of where the practical taboo came in of, like, seclusion and uncleanliness. But as to how it made its way into, like, religious texts and how people then decided that women on their period, like, would be unclean and couldn't have... Well, you have tons of traditions ranging from women on their period who touch plants will make plants die and crops wither, to women who touch swords will make them rust, to everything, to Orthodox Judaism, where a woman can't have sex when she has her period. So these taboos are just sort of outdated and don't really have any logical foundation to them. You know, there are lots of, like, feminist conspiracy theories. I don't really believe them, but, yeah, it's a good question.
When you say feminist conspiracy theories, which ones do you refer
to? So then, you know, a lot of people think that, like, men came up with these taboos to sort of keep women at bay or keep women under their control and enforce their inferiority. But this and what I've been working on are sort of unrelated. Because although I have been focusing on the taboo, I've been really focusing on trying to end it and less about why it is there. And it's so different in every part of the world, you know, like here it's just sort of an awkward subject for girls who are getting it and more taboo for older women. But when you go to India, it's something that, you know, if you show a tampon, the whole room will go quiet. So it's totally different, and I'm really focusing just on getting a dialogue started.
What is the genesis or the basis of this focus, and to a broader scale, the reason why you chose to write My Little Red Book?
Well, it was definitely not something I planned on doing. But it started when, well, started with my own first period. I was 13. I was water skiing, and I was stuck on a boat alone with my widowed grandfather. It was an incredibly awkward time because both of us knew exactly what was going on, but didn't say anything. But to make matters worse, my mom ended up telling the whole family when I called her and I broke down that night. And the silver lining, and here's where the book comes in, is that all of the women in my family got so excited that they started telling me their stories when I came home. And my great aunt told me a story about her first period, which you may be familiar with. It turns out that she got it while being Nazi-occupied Poland during World War II. And she actually got it waiting in line to be strip-searched by a Nazi officer. A lot of women who were taking trains across the German border were told to get out and take their clothes off because a lot of Jewish women would keep valuables under their clothes or Jewish stars. And my great aunt actually had a Jewish star hidden in her shoe. And she got her period while standing naked in line waiting to go. And that story blew my mind just because it's really powerful, but also because it turns out that she had never told anyone before she told me. And when I heard that, a bell kind of went off, and I thought, what if other women, or there must be other women that have stories that are equally powerful and just have never had an opportunity to tell them. And if I don't do something, because I feel like no one else has had this realization, these stories are going to remain untold forever.
Well, they are relayed in your Little Red Book. I'd like to inquire about when you were alone with your widowed grandfather on the boat, and nothing was said, though both of you knew what was going on. What do you think, looking back on that, could or should have been said by one or the other, or perhaps both of you at that moment?
I think if I had been in his shoes and was an incredibly suave, comfortable grandfather, I would have said, let's take a break from water skiing. We don't need to celebrate. We don't need to cry. This is whatever you want to make it to be. But let me take you to the pharmacy, and we can at least take care of the situation. And what ended up happening was we continued to water ski. He dropped me off at the front door of the pharmacy at the end of the day, and I went inside alone. I was embarrassed to ask anyone for help, and then I ended up buying a Depends.
Which is something that an older person might be using.
Mm-hmm. I think anything but the way it happened would have been okay.
So let's switch that to what does occur in modern-day America to a single father household who has daughters. What would a man in that situation, what would you recommend to a man in that situation to prepare his daughter and to be supportive for his daughter at that time in her life?
Sure. Well, I think the best thing to do, whether it's periods or anything of kind of a difficult subject, is to tell a story. And for men, this might be a little harder with periods, but I've been really surprised by how often guys actually do have stories, whether it's stories about their mother, their sisters, their aunts, their grandmother. Almost every guy has a good period story, too. And if you don't, if you try really hard and still don't, I'm guessing you know a woman that does have a good story, and it's probably going to be easier for you to ask her and then share it with your daughter, or ask her to share it with your daughter. Revealing sort of like the facts of life is great, but I find that that kind of information, I mean, it doesn't really stick. But telling a story is a powerful way of, one, showing that you too have sort of gone through a similar experience and that you're willing to put yourself on the line by telling this kind of embarrassing story. And two, once you tell your story or someone else's story, you are 10 times more likely to get your daughter to open up with hers. It's an amazing, almost like visceral reaction, the power of storytelling. When you hear one, you need to tell one too. And that's definitely the case with periods.
Well, Rachel Nailbuff, author of My Little Red Book, I wonder if you could read one of the stories of the many stories in your book that really moves you.
The story is called The Lie. It happened in 1948. It's written by Shalom Victor. And I think this story is really important to tell because it's something that happens to a lot of girls. And this is there's a taboo beyond periods that they don't want to talk about. So here it goes. Every day I examined my underwear, looking for the dark maroon blemish that the other girls my age talked about. I was 13 and wanted to be just like everyone else, to be included in the circle of girls who'd become women. Although some balked about the mess and the stomach ache, this was something I coveted, something I felt unreachable. Humiliated and thinking myself outside of God's natural laws, I lied. My mom asked, when? At school, I said, shrugging my shoulders as if to convey that it was no big deal. My mother questioned me no further, as I suspect she was prudish, although I did see a slight smile cross her face. We weren't close and lacked the easy friendship that some girls enjoyed with their mothers. I overheard school chums say, oh God, I almost died. It got all over the back of my skirt. I got into the conversation then. Oh yeah, I would say, shaking my head. That happened to me too. Wasn't it so awful? I felt guilty about my lie, and also terribly worried that I would never become one of them. By the time I was going on 15, having gotten no results from quiet prayer in my bedroom, I ascended the stairs to the roof of our four-story tenement building. I looked at the other rooftops, the wired cage at the top of the elementary school I once attended, and stretched out my arms towards the firmament and prayed. Dear God, please give me my period, which I thought was rightfully mine. Please, I just want to be part of the crowd. I tacked on an additional prayer. Could you also give me breasts while you're at it? 2 days later, I woke to a sticky feeling in my pajama bottoms. When I pulled them down, I already knew what was there, and I felt an inexpressible joy. I changed my pants and ran into the bathroom to locate my mother's stash of Modest pads. I tucked one into my panties and found I could hardly walk. I felt like I was sitting astride a couch cushion. But unfortunately, for me, this true time, there was no one to tell. And that's the story. you know, obviously all of these stories speak to girls that are going through this experience. And this this strategy, lying when you haven't gotten your period, this happens to teenagers over so many things. Either you're so, I mean, it just goes, lying goes hand in hand with embarrassment and shame. So whether it's lying that you have gotten your period, whether it's lying that you haven't gotten your period, whether you've had your first kiss or you haven't, this is just such a typical teenager thing to do, and there are repercussions, right? Because when she does get her period, she can't celebrate. But it sort of teaches this lesson, but in sort of a heartwarming, endearing way.
In this edition of Radio Curious, we're talking with Rachel Nailbuff. She's the author of My Little Red Book. It's an anthology of stories about first periods collected from women of all ages from around the world. You're listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Rachel, in our discussion and obviously in your work preparing this book, you've put yourself on the line, as you say. What does that feel like?
That's a good question that no one has asked me. Well, in the beginning, I will say that I was really nervous and scared, and the hard part was telling my friends about it. Old people were okay because I didn't think that they would, they might judge me, but I didn't care. But for a while, being the period girl was sort of my worst nightmare. What I did to sort of get over that was I gave a speech to my junior year about the importance of talking about periods. And I did it as a speech contest. And I remember sort of, I was almost like a psychological, like, therapy in a way, because what ended up happening was people got really into it. And guys got into it, and people started cheering and clapping. And when I saw that, and when my guy friends were like, Rachel, why didn't you tell us about this amazing side project that you've been doing? That's when I realized that it could be cool. And then I started talking it up, and I haven't felt like I've been putting myself on the line since. I've had a few interesting encounters where I've met people who Googled me and been confused by all of this period stuff that's popped up, and I'm expecting that that will continue for the rest of my life, which is something I don't exactly know how I feel about. So what I mean is, like, I'll have people that I meet that will then Google me, and then who I haven't told about the book, and then they will be very confused. But also contacts from strangers. I have an email account where that is attached to my website where I encourage women to contribute their stories. And something that's been interesting is I'm getting, like, two or three first period story submissions a day from total strangers, which is wonderful. I have a story of the month contest online, and women are participating.
You come from a family that I believe has a strong academic orientation. What was the support that you received from them when you said, I want to start this project?
I could not have done this without them. Especially my dad has been integral to this book. They were the ones really that encouraged me to send it off to a publisher. Well, first, my mom is responsible for getting the whole thing started because, you know, she blabbed about my experience. But my dad really helped me put it out into the world. He had published a book before, and I didn't go through his agent or his publisher, but he sort of knew the ins and outs of being a book proposal and how to sound professional, which I definitely didn't as a junior in high school.
Well, Rachel Nailbuff, author of My Little Red Book, could you please read another of one of the stories in your anthology for us?
Sure. So this one is called The Artist. It happened in 1968. And there are many poignant, sort of heartwarming, sad stories in this collection, but this one is one that gets me to smile every time. So here it is. I think I was in the seventh grade. I had moved from a private school, class of 12, to a public school, class of 400. A big change, and had just cut off my braids and gotten my first bra. In class one day, I stood up and my skirt stuck to me. I twisted around and saw a blood stain on my tan corduroy skirt. It was only as big as a 50-cent piece, but it seemed huge to me. Quickly, I twisted my skirt around to the front and with my ballpoint pen colored in the spot. When I had a new stain behind me, I twisted it again and repeated. This was the official beginning of my career as an artist, and the beginning of my staining many, many things, upholstered Louis XV chairs at the Ritz-Carlton in London, and a myriad of mattresses around the world, not to mention most of my clothes. And even though my period was regular, almost to the day, each month for about 40 years, it always came as a surprise, and I was never prepared. And with about 9 pregnancies, when the doctor asked, "And when was your last period?" I never, ever knew. And that's the story. It's by Nina Bentley. And what I love about it is that she's actually a visual artist. And I've found that the way a woman reacts to her first period really does sort of say something about who she is. And that story is kind of the exemplar of that phenomenon.
When you say it says something about who she is, have you found a trend or some thoughts about what, in fact, it does say?
Yes, definitely. Well, there's one story that by Michelle Jaffe, who's a teen author, who talks about how literally the way you react is a trend that will repeat itself later in life. So for Nina Bentley, maybe it's being creative and making an artistic solution. For others, you know, if you are a clean freak and you feel the need to make everything super sanitary, like, you'll probably be like that for other situations. In Michelle Jaffe's case, she goes shopping and buys every single sanitary supply product she can find, and shopping is her solution to all of her problems today. If you're a drama queen, you might freak out. If you're really independent, you can do it all on your own, that sort of thing. And the reason I think this is the case is because at 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, whenever you get your first period, oftentimes you haven't been in a situation where you really have to figure everything out by yourself. And you often haven't been in a situation where you are totally uneducated and don't know what's going on, and things seem really serious. And in any of those situations, your character is going to come out. But for a lot of people, for a lot of girls, their period is the first time that happens.
And that goes back to our original question in this conversation about why the taboo? Why is it not discussed?
Well, I think it's hard. I mean, what I said before about the way we teach it and the way it's portrayed in the media, but also I think it's hard because girls are so young. They're getting it at age 9, and no parent would think of telling their 9-year-old daughter about periods.
Have you considered why the lowering of the age of menarche, the beginning of menstruation?
I've been told that it has to do with the hormones that's in our food. I think also it has a direct relationship with weight, and I think with weight problems and obesity at a younger age, periods are coming earlier.
Well, Rachel Nailbuff, I want to thank you for being with us on Radio Curious, and I do have a couple of questions. One is, I understand that in the fall of 2009, you will enter Yale University as a freshman. I wonder what your thoughts are on bringing this body of work to your new endeavors.
I don't know. I don't expect anyone to know that I have done this when I get on campus, and I don't expect to bring it up unless it sort of comes up in conversation. Periods are obviously a large part of my life, but this book is not everything that I do. And I'm looking forward to kind of moving on and becoming a normal person for a little while.
When you say not everything you do, are there other notable examples you could share with us?
Sure. Well, I've taken this whole year off to sort of do the things that I love, and I went to culinary school in the fall. I spent a few months, wonderful months, working as a dessert chef at a restaurant. I worked in a bakery here in San Francisco, and I'm working at a writer's workshop now. It's called 826 Valencia, which does tutoring for inner city kids and helps them with homework and empowers them through writing. So I have a lot of interests all over the place, and I don't exactly know what I want to study yet, and I'm looking forward to finding that out. And I can sort of see myself doing a lot of things that aren't period or women's health related.
Well, again, I thank you. And before we close, I'd like to ask you our signature questions. One is, can you tell us of an aha or eureka moment that you've had recently?
Well, one that I had related to periods is that I think this radio station is proof that periods are something that guys want to talk about, that guys are interested in talking about. They just pretend like they don't. And that was a big aha. And I'm making a second edition of the book, and I will be including a guys section due to this aha. And so, yeah, that's sort of been my recent enlightenment, I guess.
I presume that you might like contributions from guys as well as girls for the second edition, and perhaps you could share with us your website.
Sure. So that website is mylittleredbook.net. And all period contributions are welcome, whether you are old, young, female, male, have never had a period, never will. All are encouraged, and you can submit your story to myfirstperiod@gmail.com, but that's all on the website.
And finally, can you tell us about an interesting book that you've read lately?
Sure. Well, I'm always reading something, and I just finished The Remains of the Day, but I didn't think that was that interesting. The best book that I've read recently was A Heartbreaking Work of a Staggering Genius, which is by Dave Eggers, and it was going to take a while for me to read anything better than that. He writes so honestly and painfully honestly, and says everything he thinks and says everything you have ever thought in a better way than you will ever say it. And this really captures sort of my generation and growing up in today's world, and I'm really impressed. I was really moved by his book.
Well, Rachel Nailbuff, author of My Little Red Book, thank you very much for being with us on Radio Curious.
Thank you.
Rachel Nailbuff is the author of My Little Red Book. She will enter Yale University in the fall of 2009. She spoke with us on May 29, 2009. The book that Rachel Nailbuff recommends is A Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius by Dave Eggers. Copies of this and other editions of Radio Curious can be found on our website, www.radiocurious.org. They're also available in CD format. To get a copy, visit our website for further details. At Radio Curious, we appreciate your thoughts and ideas about our programming and enjoy hearing from you. Our address is Post Office Box 7, Ukiah, that's UKIAH, California, 95482. Our email address is curious@radiocurious.org, and the phone is 707-462-6541. You've been listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Thank you for joining us.